I go to shul. We spread out. All the minyanim are now in the big shul, not the shtibble on the side. And you can't stop living. You just, all right, you have to be cautious. Worse than that, my daughter calls me Friday. I can't come to her shul. One of the biggest doctors there with contagious disease, Dovins, he knows me, and he told my daughter, tell your father he's not allowed out of the house. Then Shabbos morning, the after davening, the kids came over. My daughter, my son-in-law, to try to convince me not to teach. I shouldn't leave the house like Yitzchak, but let's do what we have to do. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Habotech Hashem, Chesed Yisov Avenu. By the way, you should know that the masks don't help. That was explained to me that this virus, it passes, it's something in the air, evidently, so that the masks really don't help. All right, we're ready to roll. A world. Today is March 15th, 2020. And it's a Sunday morning, and we're under siege like the rest of the world. I don't think Israel's any different, except so far we're ahead of the United States. New York is in a panic. If you see the statistics, you can understand why. We're ahead of New York and New Jersey, you know, Kavela Tov, but also our shuls are closed down. Could you imagine Yeshurun and the Great Synagogue closed? Yakah, they put up 100 chairs and they wouldn't let anyone in after 100 chairs were filled, no one else allowed in. Oh, Rivka still has plenty of room, so anyone who hears my voice and lives within walking distance, Minyanim in the morning had changed to 5, 6:10, 6:50, 7:30. A good morning to the students brave enough to be in front of me. I hope there's some kollel. I don't know what's happening in the kollel. They say Torah Shraga is dissipating within the next day or two. Only 30 out of 150 are going to be left. I don't think there are any formal classes anymore. The kollel, I don't know what's happening, but I saw Rabbi David here this morning, and Asaf Rabbi Bednash told me he'll say shir this week, so we're okay. A good morning to those in front of me and to those listening across the wide expanse of the frightened universe. I just want to mention, in my comment, Herzl Ginsburg wrote to me, we spoke about the David Letterman show, and in regard to your question about Chillul Shabbos for the Friday night show, I attended one of his shows being taped on a Thursday afternoon. They record two shows on Thursday, one that night and one for Friday. So that guy who said Shabbat Shalom to the Baal Tshuva to be was not Mechalel Shabbos. Kol HaKavod. Herzl Ginsburg writes, I lived in Riverdale and worked in Midtown right near Letterman's studio, Midtown Manhattan. And there was a mincha minyan within walking distance of my office. One day, a very familiar face showed up and he joined us for a number of weeks, donning a maroon purple kippah for davening. Paul Sheffer, who ran David Letterman's band, was joining us to say Kaddish. I have to tell you, I met Paul Sheffer in some other shul too. I was introduced to him. Does anyone know where he lives, where I might have met him? I don't know. I can't recall where. It might have been Mount Kisco, maybe upstate.
Yeah, it was something. It's more to the north.
Okay, so then, maybe Mount Kisco or. Okay, halavai. He should be live like a proper Jew, be a shomer Torah mitzvah. That's all I can say. Now, coming back, tell me. So Rav Galevsky was your rebbe. So I have to tell you, Elliot, that in the last week or two, I've spent endless hours with Rav Galevsky. The man was a kanoi, an anti-Zionist. Unbelievable. As a Rebbe, did he ever bother you? It's obvious he was schizophrenic, that he was the Lakewood guy. You have no idea, the kanoiot I went through, he has a whole kuntris, very big kuntris, on Shvius, where he argues with Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe was Mater, the Etrogim from Israel, on Shvius, and oh, what a kanoid, he calls the Mizrahi, all the dirty words of 120 years ago, Akat, Mizrahi, Akat, and he accuses his grandfather, Rav Chaim, of making a terrible mistake. What was the terrible mistake? And it's all in print. I'm not making anything up. What was the terrible mistake that when Rav Yitzchok Chanan came out with the Chetah Mechirat HaKarka Lishnat Shvius, they should have ripped the heck out of him and come out against them loud and clear. But Rav Yitzchok Chanan was Rav Yitzchok Chanan, and they were hesitant to blacken his face in public. He was the Gadol Hadar. And he accuses Reb Chaim and his grandfather, had they taken a stand against Rav Yitzchok Chanan, there wouldn't be a Hetta Mechira. So, wow, I couldn't believe. And he taught in YU. But the answer is very simple. It's schizophrenia. In other words, on one hand, he felt Lakewood and Brisk and Volozhin and everywhere he came from. That was the Yemes, that was the truth, that was the Torah. But when he saw Eliot Rosner, Shomer Shabbos, he was happy. All right, Baruch Hashem, he's a Shomer Shabbos. He's not a wild kid. He's not on drugs. He's not on his face liquor. He's not running around with women. All right. So you could celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut. He didn't say a word to you. All right. See, Rabbi Yochanan Gerelick was not schizophrenic. He was a troubled personality. That's all I can tell you. He really, here he is in YU, and here he is telling us off, and here he is complimenting us. Rebbe, I wish I could talk with Rabbi Yochanan today, Rabbi Noach, on a more mature level and on a level of learning. But that's life. That's life. You understand? Can I call Rabbi Kefir to you? Sometimes he has a cute witticism. Many years ago, I was talking about giving a survey course in the history of Torah, modern times, in the Monday class. I said a vart that a chassid always has a Rebbe. When the chassid is young, the Rebbe is old. When the chassid is old, the Rebbe is young. You follow me? When they made the bells a Rebbe, Rebbe, believe me, Dov, if you understand this, you're smarter than I am. They made this 17-year-old kid got married, 1966. Was he 17? Maybe he was 17, 18. He was 18. He was born in 1948, 18 years old. Chassidim, who know Shas by heart, Paiskim by heart, them durchgemacht in Leben, alle Tzaris and geblieben from and never sinned. And they stood in front of this 18 kid with a kais l'chaim, and they didn't drink till this 18 schnip jung said to them l'chaim. No, that's a chassid. I can't understand it. Chassid is young, the Rebbe's old. The Rebbe's old, the Rebbe is young, the chassid is old. A Litvak only has a Rebbe once. And all his life, he's going to go back to those moments. Reb Shimon Shkup came back to Volozhin. I was there, though. Reb Shimon came back with his son, and he showed him the benkel that he sat in Volozhin, the bench. And he said to him, "Mein Zun, Zolzwissen, these were the greatest years of my life, the most enjoyable years." A poor kid in Volozhin, what did he have? But the Torah, the learning, you understand? That's a Litvak. Doesn't have a Rebbe again. The next 60 years, he's daydreaming about those precious moments in Volozhin. So Rabbi Yeruchim, you should know, he lived it, he yelled, he shouted, he commanded it. But Rabbi Noach Bornstein, he was an American, he made his peace with it. Rabbi Ephraim Steinberg, no, you don't remember this name, it's before your time. Alts from boys, everything is for the boys. Thank God an American kid wants to learn Gemara. Rabbi Chenich Fishman adjusted very beautifully. He felt, was at home. There wasn't the tension, the anxiety, the conflict within his soul that you saw with others. But Rav Galensky, wow, I'd love to see his children, what type of children turned out from him in Borough Park. Be interesting. Anyway, be it as it may, I'm absolutely positive. By the way, the sefer that I quoted from, it's called, he published 6 svarim, 3 and 3. Right now I'm going through 3 of the Sfarim. I've gone through 2 out of the 3 that were published together. The Sefer that deals with the history of YU is called Du Yovlin. Du Yovlin. Du in Aramaic is 2. Yovlin, 2 Yovels. What were the 2 Yovels? The yeshiva celebrated, I told you, 100 years, 1886 to 1986, Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchok going back to Yitzchayim, and he celebrated 36 years of Rebbe teaching kids like Eliot Rasna. Now, and I, so the guy's schizophrenic. Here you have the next Sefer, Shabbat Shabbaton Yela Aretz, and you go crazy against the Heter and against the Mizrahi and the Zionist, and the words he uses from the what used to be called, if you know you're Zionist, just the Lishkah HaShchora. Those are the words he's using. And here he's celebrating 36 years in YU. And it all takes me back to that Friday night, the Shalom Zacha in Lakewood, where an Elder, the Talmud of Rabbaran, came back for the Simcha, and he spoke Paraduma, Metame Tahorim, Metahir Tameim. Wow. All right. Now, I'm absolutely convinced that my analysis, again, I'll say 99%, because you have to be humble. I don't say it's being very humble saying 99%, but I'm right on here. Halavai that Reb Menashe Klein would have published this letter, but he's out to slaughter Reb Menashe Klein. To summarize, his letter is very simple. You rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, groupless, depraved, degenerate, debauched, surreptitious, chassidish, posek. How dare you differ with the Mishkanot Yaakov? And you're dealing here with Karian Shabbat, dealing here with Anisei Deoraita. And what are you doing? If it doesn't have 600,000, if it has, in other words, you're dealing that only Rishut the Rabbim, the Oraita is 600,000? An open Rambam, and I showed you the Rambam last week. Tet Zayin Amar. How much did we figure out that was? What was it? 25 feet or something? Ribbono Shel Olam. Where do you find the place that doesn't have any space? Maybe a little farm doesn't have a pathway of 25 feet. But any city, wherever you go. But he attacks him on other issues too. How the Hasidim went and they abolished putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And I showed you the sources. Let's so want to come back to it for a second, show you another interesting source I came across this week. And he attacks him also. He's very smart. In order to cover up that he's not just attacking the Litvisha Eispaps, Trumpeniks, Bushtakin, but the Payarim, he's, those are all the words I heard from my Rebbeim. Do you know all those words? Some are Russian already. I found that later. A Payar is Russian. A Pushtak, I think they say, is Turkish. I don't know how that word got into our language. A Neusfaf, a Trumpenik, that you know. A Neusfaf, you know, a Trumpenik. What does a Trumpenik mean? A loudmouth, someone who makes noise, I don't know. But either, what I saw in my lifetime, we had one Rebbe, God have mercy, what these people went through, how my heart breaks, how I don't know if this, I don't want to say it, but I won't cry if we hear some bad things happen in Germany. How we can forgive them, it's beyond comprehension. How? Beyond comprehension. I'm reading a memoir now of Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, someone you should know from Montreal. He wrote about 1937 to 1939, what he went through till he got to Kobe, Japan. And David Azrieli, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, he was a survivor who came to Israel, fought in 48, went Chutz Laretz, became a billionaire. Never forgot who he was. Azrieli school, all the shopping malls, all his shopping malls by law have to be Shomer Shabbos and have to be kosher. That's by the charter of all his shopping malls. And even in Tel Aviv, North Tel Aviv, I don't have to tell you where there's no trace, lo aleinu of Shabbos, le'itata, Shomer Shabbos, kosher. And every mall has a little shul for mincha. It's an amazing thing. Every mall has a shul. In addition, I didn't know he sponsors any survivor who has a memoir, they will publish it. So Rabbi Pinchas Hirschsprung's memoir, which was written in Yiddish, they translated into English and gave all the sources for every Gemara he ever quoted. It's a beautiful piece of work. Who published it? The Azrieli Foundation. So he threw in that the Sakhmurov also went against tradition when he paskin make the Brit on Sunday instead of Wednesday, like we explained last week. He was, what are you talking about Sunday? You paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, the Shki is much later, the kid was born on Wednesday, make it Erev Yontif. How do you go against tradition? Now, the Shaila with the Tefillin, I want to give you an interesting source, because we in our world struggle with this. Logically speaking, we should put on Tefillin Chol HaMoed. As I explained last week, it's a machlokes ha-poskim. What is Chol HaMoed? Is Chol HaMoed a day with Kedusha? Or is Chol HaMoed a day of Chol with some slight Issa Malacha? So it's a Safik D'Oraita. I can tell you, when I paskin Yontif Sheni, if people ask me, so I'm not happy to give this psak because no one can believe it, and people came over to me in America and South Africa and Australia, I happen to be in all these places on Yontif Sheni, and they looked at me, something they couldn't believe. But I spoke with the Rav and the Lumdis I know, I gave Shurim over a year on Yontif Sheni. So in America, Yontif Sheni, I observe a full day, just like a Chutz Laretz person. I once walked into the Young Israel of Hillcrest on Yontif Sheni. They got all excited, all turned the lights on, the janitor didn't show. I told him, I can't help you, the Rav Paskin, that's where your feet are, not where your mind is. I'm now in America, 2 days. But nevertheless, when I would come home from davening, I seclude myself in a room and I put on tefillin without a bracha, make a tanai with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If this is a zman of tefillin, these are tefillin. If it's not a zman of tefillin, it's a kishut bialma. Bracha einam yakvot, right or wrong. Don't have to make a bracha. And I put on tefillin. Why do I, and I say shema, why do I do it? Suffolk the oraita is not a small matter, halachically speaking. Din de rabbanim is din de rabbanim, but this is a din de oraita. And I put the tefillin on without a bracha. All right, logically speaking, Chol HaMoed, we should put the tefillin on without a bracha. And the truth of the matter is, that's what the Rav paskined in America. We were talmidim of the Rav. I showed you the Mishnah Berurah, Machlokes the Ramah, the Mechaber. But I showed you the Mishnah Berurah last week. We should put on tefillin without a bracha. Safek the oraita. All right, it happens in Israel. There are no one puts on tefillin whatsoever. It's one of the modern-day miracles of Israel. No machleket. It's an amazing thing. Hasidim, mitnagdim, mekubalim, edot hamizrach. It's really, really miraculous. And you know, the Vilna Gaon said, Tata, not to put on tefillin. So in the new Sefer that I finished, I made a siman earlier this week, over 600 pages, on Reb Chaim Brisker, Rabban Shel Kol B'nei HaGola, Volume 2, by Shimon Yosef Mela. He married, his father-in-law was a Rebbe with me in BMT, Rabbi Feder, if the name means anything to you. It's after your time. You were there at the very start, from your time with the original faculty. Braverman, Rappaport was there, Werner, and yours truly. And you had Rabbi Mann, Nechama Leiber, which you may have had already. But listen, that was quite a faculty, that's all I can say. And he writes on the Brisker family. His father was a Ram in the Tiv Meir for many decades. He comes from the right-wing world, but he knows the world. They're open to the big world. His father's a Ram in the Tiv Meir, very beloved. So on page 579, he quotes Reb Meir HaLevi Soloveitchik. He died, I think, this past year. I think only one son of Reb Velvel's alive yet, Reb Meshulam David. This was Reb Meir. So Reb Meir and Meshulam David were the two survivors of the sons of the Brisker Rav. So Reb Meir told him that in 1942 he became Bar Mitzvah. They were already in Yerushalayim. And he asked his father what to do with Tefillin Chol HaMoed. And he asked around. And they told him, the minhag here is not to put on tefillin. And Reb Velvel said to him, it's the bistu in Yerushalayim. Now you're in Yerushalayim. And he said that both his father and his grandfather did not put on tefillin and chol hamoed. But the Beit HaLevi, they say, did put on tefillin on chol hamoed. And when the Briska Rav's eldest son, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, the same name as his first cousin, Mori Rebbe, when they were still in Brisk, so he asked his father what to do, and his father told him, ask the Briska Dayan, Rav Simcha Zelek Riga, and Rav Simcha Zelek told him, put tefillin on, and that's what he did. And it's fascinating how this issue haunts us. And one time, there's a footnote here, that Reb Lazy Yehuda Finkel, the Mira Rosh Yeshiva, the Altav Slabatka's son, asked Reb Velvel, how come you don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed? After all, in Chutz Lavetz we did put on tefillin. And he saw that the Briska Rav was a little upset by this question, that it's a powerful question, like I said a minute ago, Safik Dioraita. And Reb Velvel answered him, and by the way, this is an answer that my Briska mind does not comprehend. It's practically, I would say, Hasidic. Reb Velvel answered him that after the Chag, he puts on tefillin for a longer time, so that he shouldn't lose out on the fact that he didn't wear the tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So, all right, you can take it as you wish. Very fascinating.
That's serious.
What? Serious? It's here in the Sefer. He wouldn't have played games. Okay. So, however, you see, Reb Menashe Klein is obviously not foolish. He understands very well what's going on. And he was very adamant and very strong, and understood that this whole letter is not about tefillin, it's not about the Safmurav, it's not about Shitat Rabbeinu Tam, but he's being attacked because he's mekil on an Erev, Birshut HaRabim, cities with so many people, Times Square, and all that goes with it. And above all, how do you have the audacity to paskin against the Mishkan of Yaakov? Mishkan Ot Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kalina, you're dealing with the Talmud Muvhak of Rav Chaim Voloshina, someone who has the Kabbalah from the Vilna Gaon, to Rav Chaim, to Rabbi Yaakov Kalina, to the Mishkan Ot Yaakov. How do you dare to differ with him? And here, the answer is very powerful. We started it last week, but now we're going to come into the heart of it. And first of all, he digs him on, you're telling me that we argue with the Mishkan Ot Yaakov, but we have many instances today where your own Talmidim argue with Reb Chaim, argue with the Mishnah Brura, and you don't have a better example than Motzai Shabbos. Motzai Shabbos, all of Yeshiva University graduates, at least until the year 1970, everyone kept Shabbos 42 minutes, 46 minutes. In my time, we knew of basically no one who kept Shabbos 72 minutes, 96 minutes. Yes, we knew the Rav had Chumras, correct. We knew Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had Chumras. The Babe, Rabbi, pardon me, call him the Babe, but Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, the Babe, we knew that he had Chumras, he followed his Rebbeim, but the by and large, the masses knew you're dealing here with a Suffolk Dioraita, you're dealing here with what are you talking about? Chilul Shabbos, you can't get much worse than Chilul Shabbos. And nevertheless, despite Reb Chaim's Chumras and despite the Mishnah Brura and the Bir Halacha, you Litvakin are Mekil. What? How long did your father keep Dov?
42 minutes.
No, that was the standard. I grew up, I don't remember No, on the east side, Vic, who kept the 72 minutes. It was unheard of. You never saw a luach that would give Zman Rabbeinu Tam. Nowadays, every luach has the regular time and Zman Rabbeinu Tam. I have a son-in-law who keeps Rabbeinu Tam. I think out of his children, I believe at least one keeps Rabbeinu Tam. I don't know about, could be two out of the three keep Rabbeinu Tam. I'm not, they're all good kids, don't misunderstand me. But Rabbeinu Tam is a chumrah. Okay, fine. He's saying to him, you're telling me off, we're going against tradition, and who are you to tell me off? You're a Litvak, and you too have so many people breaking with tradition. But then he goes further. What are you telling me about the Mishkanot Yaakov? We're Samach on the Bet Ephraim. We have our own poskim. And the Bet Ephraim saw the Mishkanot Yaakov. He refuted the Mishkanot Yaakov. He reprimanded the Mishkanot Yaakov. So why are you telling me about, we have nothing to be Samach? How dare we? We have a great Goldol, the Margolis family, the Bet Ephraim. We're Samach on him. And for us, he was the posek of our generation. In addition, he says, why are you rebuking me? Why are you reprimanding me? All over, we have a rhythm already. And he starts listing out that even Reb Moshe Feinstein, with all his chumras, and Reb Moshe had unique chumras when it came to the Erev, and you remember my lectures years ago, I spent so many weeks on Reb Moshe, and yet, Kew Gardens Hills, Kew Gardens, Riverdale, Aled, Muncie, and I remember I was in the Rabbinate Jet in America when they spoke of an Erev of Muncie, and I remember telling people that I felt would understand me, that once there's an Erev in Muncie, they're going to be a rhythm all over. And ultimately, you see, it reached the point today where you can't build an Orthodox community without an Erev. Look at the advertisements in Jewish Action. I was about to bring the Jewish Observer back to life. No, Zichrono Levracha on the Jewish Observer. But the Jewish Action of the OU, you'll see advertisements, new community, housing is much cheaper, will give you towards a mortgage. If you stay for 10 years, you get $50,000, whatever it is, they have a whole fund. And I know communities that have worked this out. And what do they advertise? Excuse me?
Cincinnati.
There's a
pictures.
Oceanside.
My daughter Ingrid sent something on the pictures.
Beautiful.
My family.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Oceanside has this. They have a whole fund. Jewish Action. So they advertise mikveh, Erev, day school, pizza parlor. It's like you can't have that. You know what? Believe me. All right, Baruch Hashem, I don't want to be critical. You don't realize, Elliot understands what I'm about to say. I remember the first pizza place in Yerushalayim, Richie's. You don't know what. It was revolutionary. Today my grandchildren think, I can't believe it, they think pizza is indigenous to Jewish culture. That it's, in other words, being a Jew, our food is pizza. Replenish Shalom. Whoever heard of pizzas? Italians. Go to Italy. Today you can't go near Italy. But
Crown Heights was the first.
Crown Heights began today.
That's where it began
in New York. Correct. And Crown Heights today. Oh, Flatbush, what goes on with the five towns, the pizza parlors, Pizza Plus, etc., etc. Go to Florida, you'll see where the Jews are, what's doing with pizza. But when all is said and done, once you have one area with an Erev, it's like a mikveh. Why can't I have the convenience? A day school, a mikveh, an Erev, and on and on. Now, this machloiket, and now let me go further, this machloiket didn't begin today. It's a machloiket that goes back all the way to the Rishonim. And you're dealing here, you see, and this is what Galinsky, I'll give you sources later, but when you deal with it logically, you know, just think for a minute, we'll take an example, Mechirat Chametz. Mechirat Chametz began. We do have sources. I've given shirim on this. We have sources at Tosefta. On a ship, you have chametz. What do? You sell to a guy. It was a very limited sale that was very real. The guy bought it and took it. After Pesach, if he was decent, he sold it back to you. Fine. Over the years, Jews went in Poland, that they were limited what fields they could go into, Russia, Poland. So one of the fields that they left for the Jews, they were able to manufacture whiskey. Take grain, sour it, and manufacture whiskey. Well, once you get involved with manufacturing whiskey, you're dealing basically with chametz gomor. Dealing with chametz gomor, it's not chametz nuksha, it's not even a tarovet, basically. Although it could be that the whiskey today is a tarovet, because it isn't just pure grain. Anyway, but what are you going to do Pesach? A guy manufactures, has 10,000 bottles. So ultimately, they developed the mechirat chametz that we have today. Now, take the mechirat chametz we have today. You have your cabinets filled with chametz. You have one freezer filled with chametz, right? It's all sealed off. It's marked off. I have sheets saying chametz, chametz, chametz. Fine. But it's a sale, no? It's a legal fiction. He didn't come in. He didn't take it. Oh, technically, the guy can knock on your door and come in and demand the chametz. But halacha l'maisa, it's a legal fiction. Mutta, not mutta. Of course it's mutta. Once you mavatal the chametz, it's not yours anymore. So to begin with, it could even be a midioraita. You don't have to make the sale at all. But this is Torat Chaim. This is the way it developed halachically. And there isn't a rav in the world today who would question the mechirat chametz. All right, there may be some tzaddikim, they tell stories. I think Rabbi Yosef Weiss, my Rebbe, I think he used to take a bottle or two of liquor that he was left with whiskey and spill it out in the Harlem River down near the yeshiva. But basically, no one will criticize. This was accepted. You take now an Erev, you take a Manhattan, ain't the Chorashit HaRab, you'll take a Dol Mizeh. You take Times Square, we'll come back to this, you take Times Square, it's not a Rashit HaRab, what are we talking about? 600,000 people, talking millions are on the street of Manhattan. Take tourist season, May, June, particularly June, because the weather is not that warm yet, and people can get away in June. You take June, the streets of Manhattan are overwhelmed with people, business, tourists. What? It's not a Rashut HaRab in the Oraita. What are you talking about? And you take an Erev. What's an Erev? Telephone wires, electric wires. What kind of Erev is this? Where's there a Tzuret HaPetach? You can go on and on. Well, this machloket already existed in the Rishonim. And if you recall the Rush, the Tshuvat HaRush, I quoted so many times in my lectures on Eruvim, the Rav tells a Talmud who doesn't want to be Samach on the Erev, that if you're not Chozer Becha, I'm going to put you in Cherem. You're an Apikairus. This is Torah Shabbat Peh. This is what all the Gedolim have said. This is what previous generations did. The same concept is in the Chatam Sofer. Shoot forward another 700 years, come to the Chatam Sofer, and the Chatam Sofer is arguing with the Talmud, and he rips the heck out of the Talmud because he wants to prove a frumkeit. He wants to show off how frum he is. What an era of 600,000, it's Rishit HaRabin, big cities. And the Chatam Sofer tells him, what are you, an Apikairis? And he quotes the Tshuvat HaRush, and he quotes all the Tshuvat that come before. So you see, there's a dynamic to the halacha here. And when you're within the range of the halacha, how can you come along and criticize? Fine, you want to be machmir like the Mishkanot Yaakov, that's your privilege. But if we want to be samech on the Beit Ephraim, why can't we? And if you recall my lectures, even the Biur Halach, even the Mishnah Brura, winds up that Me'ika Hadin, the Beit Ephraim, is right. If you want to be a Machmir, your Reish Shemayim, on a higher level, fine, accept the Mishkanot Yaakov, it's a chumrah. But a chumrah, min sabta zeh in Yiddish, famir alein, ich bin machmir, famir alein. I am stringent, mir. Mir in Yiddish means myself. It's only for myself. It's not for the public. Now, and he goes on, and he gets involved with Antwerp, Toronto, Canada, Baltimore. In his time, there was not yet, when he's writing this tshuva, there was not yet an Erev in London. But all of you know, when they finally put an Erev into Golders Green in Hendon, there was a world war over it. Part of it is pure amratzit. People really don't understand the halachic process. Part of it is l'shem shemayim. But you have no right to impose your will on the Klal Yisrael. The famous story, which I've told many times, and I verified it, the story is true. How in what they call the monk shul, it's Rabbi Monk, he hasn't been alive for decades. But the shul is still called an old Yiddish shul in Golders Green. I davened there. And I saw with my own eyes, only one person says Kaddish, he comes up front. It's amazing to see what you hear about, read about, which was long abolished in the rest of the Torah world. There they still do it. So it turns out someone came in on Shabbos with a cane. Now, to tell you that you can use a cane against a hole, if you need a cane, it could very well be you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. It's not considered carrying. It's part of you. You can't walk without it. So there's someone came in with a cane. The rabbi was so angry that he made them lay in the Torah after Musaf. When he found out, he lay in the whole Pasha over again because they had given this man an aliyah. Could you imagine? Ad kedei kach. So a few years ago, they made an Erev in Manchester. Once again, there was a B'machlekes in Manchester. And this will always go on because there are various opposing views here. Now, then the question comes up, how do you have a right and have opposing views? So here, I want to quote, I'm going to go into this in great detail, if not this week, next week, very important, basic lectures. But the heart of Torah Shabbat Pevet, you have to be a Lamdan, you have to understand the depth of what I'm referring to. But let me just cite a Gemara to you that they cite in their correspondence. It's a Gemara you all know. Bracha Daf Yud Amid Bet. Right at the bottom, the Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim B'Erev Kol Adom Yatev Yikrao B'Boka Yamod Shenema B'Shach B'Chavu Kumecha. All right. In the morning, again, you wake up. Believe me, you get older, and now with this epidemic, or pandemic, whatever they call it, I say the bracha in the morning, I say them with more kavana than ever. But if you take the pasuk literally, when you say Shema, everyone should stand up. Shach v'chavu kumecha. We're waking up. It's in the morning. No, I davened this morning 5:30 minyan. We had 12 people at the minyan. Didn't have a big minyan. 12 people. Tomorrow we'll have slightly more, but there are people who are in isolation, came back from America, etc. People afraid to go out of the house, which is see. I don't know where the Kollel guys are, but that's. It hurts me that these are so basic to understand the halachic process. And Baruch Hashem, one guy walked in. Did you get the message I was teaching? Oh, God, I depended on people and they knifed me. It's not right. I depended on people. Yomo was not here. Do you know how to put the shir uploaded? Okay, Ellie's around. Do me a favor, don't run away after shir. I need help. You should stand up. Could you imagine everyone would say, Shema Yisrael, we're all standing. They shoot us down, we're crazy. According to Beit Shammai, that's what you have to do. And at night, Jack has davened at the Shtiblach many times. Sometimes there's no place to sit. The place is mobbed. You're, on the outside, the place is mobbed. He has to sit down. So that's Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says, Kol Adam Korei Kedako Shenema Lechtecha Baderech. You read Shema. If you happen in the morning, there's no room in shul, you like standing up, you're a Hasidic guy. Eli Weinstein, since he went to Bedichev and the Baal Shem's grave, so he walks up and down during davening. You ever see Chassidim? They walk up and down. They're like cars in motion. So Shema, you're in motion. What's the difference? Morning, night. Say it whichever way you want to daven. You feel comfortable. So what does it mean? B'shachlecha v'kumecha. It's the time framework. The time framework that when do you say Shema in the morning? When you wake up, the early hours. When do you say Shema at night? The normal hours when you go to sleep. Okay. Go to Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. There's Rabbeinu Tafin tells a story that I was coming on the road. It was dark, it was nighttime. I wanted to sit down and say Shema according to Beit Shammai. And I went into this deserted area, this deserted house, this haunted house, call it what you wish. And I said Shema in the haunted house. And robbers came along and they almost killed me. And his friends said to him, you are chayav mita because you are over on Divrei Beit Hillel. Now, what is this little Gemara? It's so important. Effie, what does it tell us? When a psak is reached, you can't argue with it. And here, there was a clear psak, like Beit Hillel. This, we're going to come back to them. I'm going to give you sources next week. It's a very important shiur. I'm going to give you so, but let's understand the Gemara. Remember that article by Dr. Lopez Cardoza. A few years ago, had a whole article that we should change the whole psak system. That to accommodate, I don't know what he was, to be Makariv, the youngsters, the Yiddishkeit. Why do we have to paskin like Reb Yehuda and Zer, not like Reb Meir, paskin like Beit Shammai, not Beit Hillel, paskin like Abaye, not Rava, Rava. You can't. Once a psak is accepted, and you see that from the Gemara, that they told Rabbi Tafin, Yochayav Mita, Ad Kedei Kach Eliyet. This is Rabbi Tafin. It's not you and it's not Rabbi Galinsky, Galepsky. We're not dealing here with lightweights. We're dealing here with Echadmi of the Tanoyim. But this is a basic klal. We can have machloket, but once machloket is decided, you can't come and revert. Change Torah history. Go back in time. And this is exactly what the Mishnah Halacha says to Rabbi Galevsky. This is a machloket. This machloket has gone on from time immemorial. How do you define a Rishut HaRabim? And we have every right to take a stand, to have choice, to make a decision. It's not like Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel with Kriyat Shema, where black and white, the Gemara already tells us, Rabbi Tafin was Chayav Mita, Lefisha Husikena Tatzmo, to do like Beit Shammai. I just want to pause for 1 second. I shouldn't forget, Effie, in our common venture, be aware the coronavirus is killing all of us. Meaning, Our friend writes to the dean. The dean writes back, happy to see you, want to help, but I can't meet with you yet. Everything is closed down. So we are now in a state of hold. And none of us know, it can be a week, a year, a month, a year. Hashem Yirachem. None of us know what's going to happen. That's what's so frightening now. One of my daughters made a chishuv, how many wars we have lived through that we came, big war, real wars. So she made a chishuv, at least 5 wars we have lived through since 69. But you knew it would end. Sooner or later we're going to win. Yes, Rat Hashem. Ana Hashem Hoshiana. But here, we don't know. So here I accomplished something and I'm already dancing that maybe I've accomplished something with my life. And take a look, on hold. But at least both parties are smiling at each other and are willing. So that much, convey the information to your family. Okay, back here. Now, and there's another factor. And this factor, never forget. Torah was given to humans. Once God gives the Torah to humans, it has to be given in a human framework. In Torah, there is no absolute truth. Absolute truth, no human being is capable of achieving it. Absolute truth is what the Jewish people decide. The healthy, living organism of the Jews who are Talmidei Chachamim, Tzaddikim, Chassidim, who have received the Torah, passed on the Torah. And this too is a major factor in Psak. And if you have so many Jews that build an Erev, well, this is what the Rush says. This is what the Chatam Sofer says. This is what I referred you to a few minutes ago. This is what I lectured on extensively years ago. This is Torah. This is the Torah way of life. This is the healthy, living, breathing organism of a Torah Jew. And you can't say that the Mishkanot Yaakov has a monopoly on Psak. And here he gives that example which he mentions many times. You just saw it. Tainit Esther. What did you lay in? Vayachal Moshe. What does the Gemara in Megillah say to lay in on Tainit Yod? Brachat uklamat. No, Mesechet Sofrim, it mentions Vayachal. Efi, since when does Mesechet Sofrim knock out an open Gemara? But you see, Klal Yisrael, that healthy feeling. Now again, Steve, I caution you. What's very important here is we're dealing here with Dinim Derabbanan. We're dealing here with Minhagim. When you're on that level, Klal Yisrael plays a much important part. When you're on a Torah level, the Torah, Safek the Oraita Lechumra, Safek the Rabbanan Lekula. And I'll give you sources next week. You'll have it all. But this is crucial. Effie, what is the greatest amount of Torah literature that was ever written? Chumash, Mefarshim, Shas, Poskim? No. Responsa literature, Shelet and Shuvit. Millions and millions of pages. Life. Read Rakefet Aaron, Chelik Aleph, Chelik Bet. I have an essay on responsa literature, which has often been quoted. There is no life without responsa literature, and no responsa literature without life. Something to that effect, I wrote. It's been quoted many times. It's absolutely true. Responsa literature is a reflection of life, and the halakha reflects life in reaching answers. Effie, I challenge you to study 1 million pages of responsa literature. Not overnight. It takes a lifetime. You know what you're going to find? Almost 90% of responsa literature, if not more, Vic is trying to establish, is it a din derabbanan or a din deoraita? Once you put it into a rabbinic level, it's much easier for the human to play a role. Dov, you want the most classic example of all? Very simple. On the 100th Yahrzeit, I told you, Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan's Yahrzeit, I published the piece in tradition that's been cited many times. I republished it in Rakafat Aaron. Heter Aguna. Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan is called Avi Agunat. What does it mean? Tell me. A ship sinks in the middle of the ocean. A plane crashes in the middle of the ocean. Logically speaking, are the people dead? Absolutely. I'm calling the Gemara in Yevamot now. Kufzai and the whole sugya. Look into my article. Logically, of course they're dead. Majority of people that are praying that goes down in the ocean don't survive. No, a majority should be enough to establish the wife can remarry. The man is dead. Absolutely. But the rabbis were worried. Sometimes miracles happen. Steve, remember the Gemara with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva? They were on a boat that went shipwrecked, and they were on a board, and they lie on top of the board, and the board, as each wave came, they let the wave lift the board, and they got to shore. It's open Gemaras. People are sitting shiver, the dead guy walks in. Believe me, you're lucky if you don't have a heart attack when the dead guy, I told you, with the Noga Ben David, I'll never forget. We were sure he was killed in the Sinai campaign, and he walks into YU a few years later. People went crazy. We were out of our minds, like the living dead guy. So the Rabbanan made a gezeira. It's a rabbinic law. Ein hachinami, we always follow a majority. Dov, did you inherit your father? Were you one of the inheritors of your father? Absolutely. How do you know that's your father? No, an open Gemara. The Gemara is the very... How do you know? You know who your mother is. They lifted you out of the womb. Your father? No. Rov bila tacharabal. That's the law. Torah law, right? It's not the end of the world. Only dealing with money. You follow? But here you're dealing with Aguna, Mamzerut, if she remarries. So the rabbis made a gezeira, Mayim She'ein himself. That is the rubric which it is called. When you're standing at a little backyard pool and a guy drowns, you see the whole side. He never came up. But when you're standing at the Mediterranean or the Atlantic or the Pacific, you can't be sure. Maybe he popped up in Italy. The boards of the ship took him to Italy, to Spain, to Greece. Wow. So, it's a rabbinic law. But once it's a rabbinic law, we have more room to maneuver. And that's responsive literature. And that's why when it comes to klalot and brachot, and somehow the Jewish people didn't feel happy on a fast day getting hit over the head with klalot and brachot. I told you more than one, my youngest daughter was amazed that her father listens to Yosef Mizrahi. I said, he's in my car. And my grandson knows him. Everyone knows him. I couldn't believe we had a whole discussion on Shabbos on Yosef Mizrahi. But that's my critique of Yosef Mizrahi. Among other, he's oversexed, number one. Number two, to scare the heck out of people. He's been to hell and he knows every level of hell and what's going to go on if you do this. I don't know. To me, but I can't say a bad word, because I had a Talmud who used to sit there, Avraham Rachamim, who became through Yosef Mizrahi. But the Jews didn't want to hear brachot and klalot. Vayichal Moshe, shuv mecharon apechin chamlala. Isn't that a lot better? El rachum v'chamerach v'chesed mecham. Fabulous. There, you're dealing with Kriyas HaTorah. It's a takana. It's not a din d'oraita. maybe one of the earliest takanas, you know, that we read the Torah, the Gemara says in Baba Kama Daf, we read the Torah the Monday and Thursday, it's the earliest takana from Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Din. Ach, this is Yiddishkeit. You can't put down the people. And if the people paskin like Bet Ephraim, don't criticize them. The next part, tell me, Elliot and Klum, I'm so happy you had Rabbi Galevsky as a... I knew him, but I knew him superficially. If I would meet him today, I hope not to meet him for the near future, let's put it that way. If I would meet him today, I would beat the heck out of him. I say, who are you? Where are you? What are you? Are you the Lakewood guy being Metahet Mayim and etc.? Or are you the YU guy who appreciates the Rav? I mean, this man is schizophrenic. You should see the way he writes about the Rav. I never saw anyone in my life give the Rav more titles and more covered than Rabbi Galevsky. But Rabbi Galevsky says to the Mishnah Halachat, and you Hasidim, where do you come to Paskin? What do you know about Psak? All the Sfarim from the time of the Baal Shem Tov, the only Sfarim you people came out with, Machshava, Gematrias, Perushim and Chumash, where do you come to Psak? Psak is the Vilna Gaon. The Mishnah Brura, who are you people? And boy, you can't believe what goes on here. I'm quoting now in Daf Dash, Shin Dalet. He writes, instead of writing shade, you write Dash, you invert it. Shin Dalet, at the bottom of the first column, and he says, you mean to say the Talmidim of the Besh don't know how to paskin? And he says, who is a greater posek than the Alter Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman Mila'adi, the Rav Shulchan Aruch? And I have to tell you that I believe Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, my classmate, the Grach, my classmate, not Rav Chaim writes that the Briska family had unbelievable derech eretz for the Alter Rebbe, for his Shulchan Aruch. The Lumdus there is supposed to be outstanding. I know that the Rav quoted it with tremendous Dechilu Rechimu Derech Eretz. He says, you mean to say we don't have poskim? And he quotes the Rav Shulchan Aruch. Then he says, but let me tell you who else, Chassidim, who knew how to poskim. He quotes the Baal Hafla, the Horowitz family. They were Talmidim of the Maggid. They were Talmidim of Rav Shmelka. He quotes the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Halberstam, the Avnei Nesa, that's the Sach Tshava. No, where do we quote the Avnei Nesa? In Bnei Akiva circles, we grew up in the Avnei Nesa. Mitzvat Yishev Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Hazeh. The Avnei Nesa, the Sach Tshava. By the way, many of his descendants are great religious Zionist people. The head of the Kollel at Bar Ilan, Rabbi Rappaport, is a direct descendant. He's, by the way, his wife is Rabbi Moshe David Tendler's daughter, Rivki Tendler. I believe she was my student in Mechala going back years. And the Sach Tshava, I knew her, there was in the Jewish agency, Rabbi Bornstein was a direct descendant, the son after son, one after another. And he quotes, he says, and you mean to tell me the Masham, that's Rabbi Sholem Mordechai Shvadron, the Bijana Rav, was a posek mufek? What are you talking about? I once asked Rebbe, when I was older, knew a little bit how to learn, and I could talk with the Rav, you know, a little bit, not God forbid, an equal, but a little bit more than a little fly. When I was a Talmud, I was a fly talking to an elephant. Later in life, I was a little sweet pussy cat talking to the big elephant. So I said to Rebbe, you always boasted about Rav Chaim was a great makil in treifus. You know, treifus. What do you? How do you parcel an animal? What are the real treifus? The writer, etc. And how do you extend treifus? And how, so, and I said, But it's interesting, I said to Rebbe, the Masham was also a great Mekil, and he was put in the Chayre many times over, and Rebbe Chaim got away with it. So the Rebbe said to me, no, there's Ein Nafkemina, one difference. The Masham published his kulas, my grandfather didn't. That's what the Rebbe answered me. So here he's quoting the Masham you're dealing here. He's quoting Reb Menachem Zemba. Reb Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yikom Damo, was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Reb Menachem Zemba was a Gaon Sheba Galinim. The stories about his knowledge are legendary. What he published, what was lost in manuscript afterwards, what Hitler did to us, But he goes, the Sfat Emet. No, you mean to say the Sfat Emet? Do you have the Sfat Emet on Shas? The Beit Yitzchak, Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes, he's giving a whole... By the way, you know Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes? Who is his great-grandson? Nat Lewin, the famous lawyer. Nat Lewin is a great-grandson of Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes. Nat Lewin's grandfather was Reisha Rav, Reb Aaron Levine. Reb Aaron Levine was the son-in-law of Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes, of the Beit Yitzchak. You follow? Reb Aaron Levine's son was Professor Yitzchak. It's named after Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes, after his grandfather. He was my professor in graduate school. He was principal of Central Yeshiva High School for Girls. And his son is the famous lawyer, Nat Lewin. It's no longer Levine, but it became Lewin. I guess it's more Americanized. And he goes, the Minchat Alasa, the Munkat Sherav, the Tzafnat Paneach. Who's the Tzafach Paneach? Reb Yosef Rosen. The world doesn't realize Reb Yosef Rosen, who was one of the first students of Tomchei Tumim and of Chabad, the yeshiva. Chabad began the first Hasidic yeshiva. Until Chabad, you never had a formal yeshiva. They just sat in the court and learned and gelernt by Rebbe in Haif, in the court. But in 1897, I think it was, he organized a real yeshiva in Lubavitch, Tomchei Tumimim, and one of the early students was Reb Yosef Rosen. So the Ragatshava was Eichet, the Chassidish, he was the Chassidic Rav of Divinsk afterwards, with the Osameach, the Litvish Rav. And he lists out here one, the Minchat Chinuch, who are we talking about? Babid, Ben Av Beitin, the name Babid, B-A-B-A-D. Familiar with the Minchat Chinuch? The Rav, I was privileged to sit with the Rav and learn Minchat Chinuch with the Rav. And the Rav said, Mein Zedo hat Machshi given a Galitziana for the Litvische Welt. My grandfather, Rab Chaim, was Machshir a Galitziana, Rab Babid, Galitzian. The Minchat Chinuch, have you ever opened it up? The mind, the fruitful mind, the innovative mind. You can take a Minchat Chinuch, if you have to give a pilpo, Effie, I don't know, the kolel, they take turns speaking, you can take any Minchat Chinuch and open it up with a sferet this way and a sferet that way. You can tantalize an audience for 2 hours with 3 lines in the Minchat Chinuch. And he says, what? You mean to tell me that... Answer, so we can go further. So you mean to tell me that the Hasidic world doesn't have Lamdanim? And he goes on and on, one after another, names. And you have the chutzpah to tell me that we can't be samach on the Beit Ephraim, that the Litvisha don't have poskim? And then he goes further. And here you come to one of the great figures of modern times. We would have people in our camp who would know how to make movies properly. The Kloisenberger Rav. When it comes to the Kloisenberger, here's a man who went through the hell of the Holocaust. I myself know many people who became Kloisenberger Chassidim, Litvish people, and they told me, if you saw This man in Auschwitz, if you saw this man in the camps, if you saw what he did, the bodies he buried, the support he gave, never letting his spirits down, they became Kloisenberger Chassidim. Kloisenberger Rebbe, who survived, had a photographic memory. He was Bucky in Kol HaShas Kulo. This man rebuilt, reestablished, and he's more than anyone rebuilt the world of learning Shas and Poiskim. The Litvish Yeshiva, what did you learn? 20 daf a year, 30 daf a year. Now, how big a lamdan can you be with 30 daf? This is an old problem. You can go through 10 years at my time, 10 years of YU, get smicha, and you learned in 10 years a total of, if you were lucky, 250 daf gemara. No, 250, that you're talking 2,000, what, 200 pages in Shas? Where are you? Where are you going? What are you? What do you know? I once sat in the shtibble. I was going, it may have been the second time I was, now I'm going through Shas a third time, but the second time I was going through Shas, so I was sitting to the Shemincha Marav, and I had some photographic sheets. I was in Masechet Zvachim or Menachot, and in all time, Yu Mismach, who should live and be well, he's hitting 90, and a person did a lot of good in his life. I taught children, grandchildren of his. So he comes over to me, what are you learning? He couldn't believe it. He said, what? Menach, who ever looked at these Masechtot? And I can tell you another story with Rabbi Shmuel Belkin. This is a fascinating story. When I can't go into too much detail, but to make it very short, I told you the story at my wedding, what happened. Reb Heshi Shachter writes about it, but what happened was very simple. At my wedding, I spoke before the chuppah 22 minutes on a sugya in Sanhedrin that we were learning with the Rav. And with the Rav sitting there, no one could cut you off. No one could cut you off. And there was a bizayin of Torah the Rav held. When I finished, the Rav hugged me and kissed me. I was a kid. What did I appreciate? What did I know? The Rav kissed me. So during Sheva Brachas, I got a note. Ms. Davis wants to see me. I come downstairs. Ms. Davis says, Arnold, what I saw at your wedding, I looked at him. What are you talking about? I said, the Rav kissed you. I told Rabbi Belkin. And we decided the next yeshiva we are appointing you. He says, next year, we don't have an opening yet, but you... The next year, I'm being slaughtered in the rabbinate, al hashchita, what's going on? And I get a telegram that Rabbi Belkin wants to see me. 10 o'clock, I got the telegram Thursday, 10 o'clock Monday in his office in New York. I come up, they take the train in, it was a big trip to Philadelphia, to Grand Station, to the uptown Yeshiva University. About 20 to 10, I reach Mr. Abrams' office, and he says, takes me in right away to Dr. Belkin. And Dr. Belkin says to me, I heard this, man. And he says, I heard you gave Shayurim in Moyet Cotton in Pennsylvania. And you see what he was saying to me? Yes. I gave shir Wednesday night, I believe it was, in a private home to the Baal Batim, went to learn Gemara. I chose a Gemara I never learned. That was my way of thinking. Dr. Belkin, I mean, the Midnishka led it us in the, you never learned it in the yeshiva. You understand the concept of the Rakef, it gave a shir in Mayat Katan, he becomes a Rosh Yeshiva in YU 1962. The concept of the, this was the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Absolutely. And I can tell you something else. I'm letting secrets. I've never yet told this in public. But all right, B'didi Havi'uvda. God privileged me to a rich life of experience. B'didi Havi'uvda. It's a Rosh Yeshiva already. The Rav. No, it's before I was a Rosh Yeshiva. I was a Talmud of the Rav. So we're going into the Rav Shia. And the Rav decided to learn Sanhedrin. Probably hadn't looked at it in many years. Time to learn Sanhedrin again. Never had said Shurim before. The whole yeshiva followed the Masechet the Rav chose. All right, that became policy in YU. I don't know what the story is today, but at that time in YU, everyone learned the same Masechet. The Rav is learning Sanhedrin. Everyone learned Sanhedrin, at least from the college Shurim up. Do you know, Ms. Davins told me, I'm quoting now from the dean who I'd become very friendly with, Ms. Davins said, Arnold, you should know some of the Rosh Yeshiva are very upset with the Rav's decision. I said, why? They never learned Sanhedrin in Mir, in Panovich, in Telz, in Radin, in Slabotka. It's not Noshin. It's not Nezikin. It's a different world. Sanhedrin, it's not the Bavas. It's part of Nezikin, but it's not the three Bavas. They were upset. Could you imagine a Rosh Yeshiva's upset because he has to teach Sanhedrin? But you see, this was the thinking. The Rav already was revolutionary. In the state of Israel, they study Sanhedrin before anything else. Why? How to establish a state, how to establish law, how to establish a judicial system. Mishpat Ivri. What was the first Masechet that Rabbi Steinsaltz put out that changed the world? Efi Sanhedrin. Two volumes. First Masechet. Because here it's Halacha L'maisa. Have to interpret it. The Supreme Court. Halavai, everyone on the Supreme Court should be a Lamdan. We're going to get there. We're doing a little bit better than we used to do. A little bit better. Baruch Hashem. But he says, you mean to tell me the Hasidim can't learn? And I'm quoting from him word by word. Gam bizman chazeh, yesh baruch Hashem, Torah etzom anhigei gedolei balei chasidut ugedolei rabbaneim v'roshei yeshivat. You don't believe me, he says to your Rebbe, Rabbi Galevsky? Say, go out, and go to Union City. What was Union City? Where the Kloisenberger ran away from Williamsburg when the Satmar came in and the tension between the two was too great. He went to Union City. It's like New Jersey City, right across the bridge in New Jersey. And he said, go to Union City. Yoshmim yotem me'esrim efrachim shekol hashas shkura bepihem ve'ein chasidim. These are 20 Yungalite who are bekiyim im kol hashas kula. And what? You're criticizing? I remember Abban Soloveitchik said to me about Reb Chaim Drukman. The Baron said he's not just a Mizrachiite, a Bnei Akivanik, as a Yid, a Talmud Chacham. I said to the Baron, how do you know? He says, you can open up any daf in Shas and Chaim Drukman can give you pshat. Understand? His fingers are all over Shas. This is Kloisenberg. No, Vic, if that's not enough for you, he goes one step further. Gam bi'atzenu hakadosha b'kolel shaladmur migur ein makablim talmud shelo ova lebechina v'yodeya 1,800 pages dapei gemara. All right, could you imagine Gris Kolel? We won't accept a student who doesn't have 1,800 pages of Shas under his fingertips. And by the way, this is true. Ger, very high level learning, a very high level. Unfortunately, it's now in Machloket, if you know what went on between the Rosh Yeshiva of Ger, Reb Shaul Alter, and his cousin, the Rebbe. The Rebbe was opposed, Reb Shaul has developed more lumdis in Ger. And the Rebbe feels not lumdis, but bekiyot. It's not that Rav Shaul is supposed to be bekiyot, but there has to be a little bit more in depth. And this is part of the machlokas that caused the split in Ger. Okay, I'll go, let me just water my... Baruch Hashem, we all feel good, we're spread out. We have to thank Stephanie Strauss for allowing me to teach. Effie, if you don't shake Ellie and Scotty, who wants, and Isaac, Tell those guys to do tshuva, to show up tomorrow and gain a little knowledge in a different field. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Olam
Shehakol Nehiyeh
B'Dvarav.
I told Jomo
to tell everyone. God. I'm not smart. You deal with a loose cannon, be aware it's a loose cannon. But what can I do? I love him and I think, you know, reliable. Mayot Sidon's firing squad was more reliable, take my word for it. Okay. Then it's interesting. Without going into all the details, but evidently Rabbi Gulevsky, who's a Yidolamdin, don't misunderstand me, schizophrenic, yes, but a Yidolamdin, he finds fault with one of the heterim for the Eruvin in America. Why does he find fault? Watch. If you're familiar with the literature already, they spoke about an Eruv way back in 1902. East Side, Manhattan. You should have heard remnants of it when you were growing up. Part of the Eruv was the elevated trains. Now, do you anyone here remember? I mean, I grew up with the Third Avenue well two blocks from my house, so I remember. It all came down. Do you remember the elevated trains? No, you didn't live in New York.
We lived in Heidelberg.
You had in Berlin. You still have in Brooklyn. You still have in Brooklyn. Now, the elevated trains formed part of the Mechitza in east side of New York. What was the idea? When you have an elevated train, when you put up a wall, so you have to have what's called a petach. You have to have any opening has to be made for a real petach, not just a tzureta petach. It's not something artificial. It has to be something real, that the original idea was that this should be an opening that people should be able to go through. And Rav Galevsky says part of your Erev, part of your thinking, part of Borough Park's Erev, you're depending upon an elevated train. Where is there a petach? Where is there an opening? Where does it come down to the ground? Where can you say it's above 50 inches? It's a mechitza. So Reb Menashe Klein says, when it comes to elevated trains, there's no greater petach to begin with. It's not just a tzura, but it's a real petach. Why? Why do they make the openings on the ground? Why not build solid material with the train going on top? You can't do that. You need openings for people to walk through, for cars to go through. So he says that these openings on the elevated trains, we don't have a better petach. Lavom me rechov l'rechov. Im kein pashut to elevate the rakevet nivneit l'shem petach. Havelei petach mamish v'lo tzurat petach. And you understand what he's saying, that you're trying to tell me that all these elevated trains are no more than a tzurat petach, a legal fiction. In order it to be a legal fiction, you have to build it lachatchila for the sake of a tzurat petach, or you have to make a tikkun in it like they do with electric poles or with telephone poles. They put some board into the side under the wire, where you have all that kavana to turn it into a tzurat petach. But how can you count elevated trains? There was no tzurat petach here to begin with. And Rav Menashe Klein says, you're absolutely wrong. The whole reason you have the openings, that they build them in the sky, that they have to build the elevated trains in this fashion so people can walk through, cars can go through. It's built lachatchila with a tzurat petach. And finally, Rabbi Galevsky, again, we don't see the original letter, but from the tshuvat, you gather what the original letter is talking about. Finally, Rav Galevsky evidently attacked them. How dare you be samech on the Chazon Ish? Whoever heard of this svara? Chazon Ish throws an atom bomb. According to the Chazon Ish, there's no reshut harapim the oraita bizman hazeh. Adaraba. The bigger the city, the more the population, the more the houses, the less likely that it's a reshut harabim. It's absolutely a reshut hayachid. Who heard of this svara? Where'd the Chazon Ish get it from? Suddenly, he comes up with an idea. What are you talking about? Years ago, people didn't have homes like this. Nothing was joined together. And suddenly the fact that buildings are next to each other, near each other, right next to each other, suddenly it changes all of Erev history. And Rav Galevsky is hitting away. And Rav Menashe Klein responds very beautifully. This is the Gemara in Chulin. Makom hinichu lo avotav lehitgadebo. That Gemara, I believe it's Daf Zayin, Chulin, very powerful Gemara, very insightful. What does that Gemara mean? We're saying to Effie, be a great Talmud Chacham. Be machadesh. Give answers. Give insights. You say to yourself, who am I? What am I? I boasted the other day that I understand the Sifri that the Rav and the Ramban, that the Rav had trouble with, that all mitzvot are only practiced until we come back to Eretz Yisrael. Remember the Rav said, Chtaf nish fashtein ala Ram, der Ramban fashteich nish. It's not in the Ramban according to Sifri. It's a Sifri. Chutzpah. Who the heck is Rakefet? Ani Rothkoff? The Magian? Yankee fan? Lucky he wound up in the yeshiva? Chutzpah. Boasting? Ani talking to... I never have pshat. Mwakam ini cholavotas. It's an amazing Gemara. Rakefet, you had the chutzpah to be matir and a guna? To come up with a sveika? Who the heck are you? Wow. By the way, no Beit Din. Every Beit Din they went to, I write about in Washington, they all had this Rakefet. Oh, he said, Eloi. But we don't have, we're not big enough to go to Rav Avadja. I went to Rav Avadja. Imagine a little kid from the Bronx who says that Rav Avadja puts his two hands on your shoulders and says, you're right. And writes a long, long tshuva supporting exactly what Rakefet said in this very kolel. Effie, makom hinichol avotav litkadebo. So, first of all, he says, don't be such a chutzpan. If the Gemara says makom hinichol avotav, the Chazon Ish doesn't have the right to be mechadish something? And I want to conclude with this, very fascinating. He says, yes, could very well be that houses were built before, not next to each other. Less people in the world. Population was much smaller. There was room for everyone to build a private house with a big lot around it. Plenty of room. That's why no one came up with the Chazon Ish's idea. But nowadays, so many people living in the big cities, we have to build big houses way into the sky, way close to each other. So what the Chazon Ish is not anything new, it's just circumstances changed. The reality is different. And then he says, check with the historians about Borough Park. 100 years ago in Borough Park, no house was next to another house. Each person had a big lot around his house. Did you ever go to Lawrence, see the homes there? Back Lawrence, Rebbeinu Shalolem, each house, big lot. There, the Chazon Ish doesn't apply. Go to Hillcrest, every house next to each other. All you have is a driveway in between. Wow, there the Chazon Ish may very well apply. Rav Menashe Klein here shows not just halachic insight, but historic insight. Yerushalayim, we came in Aliyah, who saw a building go into the sky. Oh, what a little shtetl it was. Today, take a look, Holy Land. Take a look what they're building. Take a look what they just approved. Take a look what they want to do to the neighborhood that I live in, the corner of Kimchi and Chernachovsky. 20 stories, 30 stories. And anyone here from Manhattan is laughing. What is 30, 40 stories? Give us 50, 60. I once was in a 57th Street home of the president of Mizrahi in Manhattan. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you got dizzy just standing on his terrace? Unbelievable. All right. He has a lot of insight. Could be. But I know they say where Yeshiva University stands today, when it was bought for the yeshiva in the 1920s, it was farmland. That was farmland. What buildings? When buildings? Today, look what's built up there. Look how tight the pretty is. Look how close the buildings are together. Even the Yeshiva University property, Reuben Hall, Morgenstern, first across the street, Gottesman, Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Chazon Ish is right. Not just Mokom Hinichu Lo Avotav, but the whole reality has changed. So to reiterate, Yomo, did you tell everyone who is giving shiur today? The kollel, I appointed you to tell them, and the one guy wandered in a half hour late because he heard my voice in the hallway. You told him and the others? Eli, Isaac, Scotty, Yomo. It's a good thing we love you, and that's all I can say. Anyone born in Kiev is forgiven for his indiscretions. To reiterate, gentlemen, at least we accomplished today. I am so happy I was able to teach Torah. I can't thrive unless I teach. I'm all right. We learn, we write, we do, we read, we gain knowledge. Paskin Shilas, I had a very funny experience. My grandson called me with a Shilas, but among the Shilas, how do you kasha karel? Milk and fleshik's a problem. So he tells me, I said, check it online. What? He says, it's glass. And I go, oh, listen, glass, it's the well-known machlekes. Do you have to kasha? Can you kasha? Etc. But this is karel. I said, do a hagala. Wait 24 hours and do a hagala. I open up one of the freebies on Friday, Novshim. You know what I'm talking about? The freebies you get, the one that's very skinny now, because no one's advertising going chutz laretz. There's not one. You used to have 30 pages of ads, stir them all over the world from Germany to Spain, except Israel. Today, this last weekend, it's the whole thing is this big. All it advertises hotels in Jerusalem, but it has to have some Torah articles. Torah article is on kashering Corningware. And I called my grandson after Shabbos. I said, pick it up, Novshim, and look at the article. You'll see all the different opinions. And I think you will conclude that your grandfather paskin correctly. Do Hagalah. You understand? Because according to Ravadji, you don't have to do anything. It's, according to that, you can't kash the soaking, etc. But some are worried you break the glass. The good thing about Corningware and Corellish, you're not going to break anything. So I hope I paskin correctly. But nothing compares to teaching Torah. And we went a little bit further today, Rabbi Galevsky, smacking the face of Reb Menashe Klein, and Reb Menashe Klein responding. And any chassid has to learn this tshuva, and he'll walk away proud that the chassidim can hold their own. But we have more to do next week, and then I want to go into the general area of Psak, Machloikis, and the dynamics of the halachic process. A number of freebies. Was that a... They're mowing the lawn, or that's a plane going back and forth? A plane? A what? A helicopter?
No, a plane. A propeller plane.
What are they going back and forth for? They're learning to fly over Jerusalem?
Maybe it's... they're practicing for Yom
HaZman. I want to get through the Sega that we can't leave our houses, and you're worried about Yom HaZman. Okay. Gentlemen, I want to show you, at least someone is listening to my Shayurim. This is the weekly freebie from Chabad. And believe it or not, how many times did I say in class, work should be done on the Mesirat Nefesh of Chabad in Russia. How many were killed by Stalin, and yet they continued, learned, passed on the tradition. Believe it or not, a fellow from Montreal who met the Rebbe, became a Baal Tshuva, lives in Israel. He is now putting out a movie on the Mesirat Nefesh of the Chabadnikim in Russia. And the picture they show is a KGB guy, it's from the movie, quizzing the Chabadnik Nebuch. What a story. I'm so happy to see it's going into the real world and not just depend upon Rakefet saying it in class. Here are two copies of the latest Rabbi Asher Weiss, including his handwritten instructions for the coronavirus. Do me a favor, Effie, give this to Avrik, to Moshe Avrik. This, anyone who wants can take. Jack, this is for you. This is for you. This is the membership list of the Agudas Rabbanim, 1951.
Somebody on there I might know.
Rabbi Kulik. Give it to your wife. You want another copy to pass on?
I can photograph it.
By mistake, the computer was... Whoever wants can take, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the freebies now. Yeshiva University, with all that's going on, the LGBTQ queers, God, they're not even ashamed to go with the name queers. Isn't that what Q stands for? God have mercy. They have officially filed a complaint against Yeshiva University. It's unbelievable. Yeshiva University basketball team reaches first Sweet 16. First come the prayer ceremony of the conclusion of the Sabbath on their families, then the celebration on the basketball court and the overflowing joy of March Madness victory. They beat Penn State Harrisburg 102-83. Wow.
The rest of everything
is canceled, of course. And I told you the what. David Twesky wrote to me that Rabbi Parnas told him when he was a freshman in high school, I've been in YU long enough to know when the basketball team wins, it's a Kiddush Hashem, called Rabbi Parnas. And Rabbi Dr. David Twesky adds on, I can tell you this last victory might have been a Kiddush Hashem, but not the Rabbim. There was no Kahal allowed, I understand. This is very interesting. Rabbi Chaim Cement, I have two copies of it, quotes the Rav speaking about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. If this story is true, it's unbelievable, because I never heard it. It surfaced now. Now I understand why people asked me about it, where the Rebbe is arrested for being drunk in public on Purim, and the Rav goes to the police station and explains who the Rebbe is and why he was drunk, and they release him on the Rebbe's word. And very interesting. This too, you want to know what a small world it was? This is an interview with the Westchester family, with coronavirus, the first family. I know who she is. I know the family. This lady who's married to the man who was critically ill, now I understand he's doing better, thank God. The one who came back from Italy, the lawyer, she is a granddaughter of Rev. Avraham Chaim Freiman, who I've quoted in class so many times, a Yekka Hildesheimer, professor at Hebrew University, author of Seder Kedushin V'Nesuin, which is an Nesuin V'Kedushin, a fabulous volume published by Moshe Rav Kook, republished a number of times, killed in the convoy going up to Mount Scopus. Remember, there's a street, Rehov Ayin Chet. He was in that convoy. He's one of the 78 killed. This is his great niece. His great niece.
Shmuel Bayit was killed in a different convoy?
Shmuel who?
Bayit.
I know what you're referring to.
Shmuel Bayit, from whom the street here is
called. Was also in that convoy? I don't know. I don't know. That's the Yayin Chet convoy. It's the street Rehov Ayin Chet that's over in Romema. Tomorrow morning, Be'ezrat Hashem, at 9:05. Don't go by 9:15. That was last week. Tanya Tester is over. 9:05, Be'ezrat Hashem. We pick up exactly a very fascinating shiur tomorrow, dealing with halacha and an interesting tshuva. And that's one of the few times that non-Jewish sources are quoted B'dechilu Rechimu in a tshuva written by a great Talmud Chacham. I want to thank you so much for honoring me with your presence and enabling me to breathe good air until we meet again tomorrow morning. It should only be B'besora Tova Yeshua T'nechamot Aleinu Va'al Kol Yisrael. Yomo, can I give you the tapes?